You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Talk to our buddy Cameron Smith here in a couple minutes. And my friend Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry right now. And I guess... Do we have to do this? Do we really have to do this? Talk New Year's resolutions?
Well, we're going to talk about it from the gold and silver side, so it's not going to be painful.
Okay,
we're not going to be looking in the mirror, nothing like that. We're going to talk about cool things like gold and silver.
Okay, good. I like this a lot better. All right, go ahead.
I didn't want to freak you out too bad
you
there
did.
Or anything. No, we've had a lot of people. You know, last year, all of last year, we talked off and on about how many people were putting their money, putting their savings into gold and silver, at least a part of that. You know, sort of hedging against inflation, worrying about the economy. And this year actually started off with a little bit of a bang in that a lot of people said, man, you know, all of last year I've been thinking about doing stuff. We're watching your videos on Facebook, all these unboxings you're doing, the sacks of silver. And so we had a lot of people come in, and their New Year's resolution was real simple. Hey, my budget is this, so every 2 weeks, every month, this is what I'm going to purchase. Can you guys help us out? And, of course, the answer is, sure, we'd love to help you. But that kind of New Year's resolution, how can you start getting into precious metals? It's actually pretty easy.
You know, and you mentioned this, and people probably, I mean, what you're saying is dollar cost averaging, right? But we're talking about it into precious metals. I mean, that's a concept people know the value of that. You could do that with your hedge of precious metals.
Well, you certainly can, and it's one of those things that's very simple. I've heard some of these 1-800 number companies advertising on the radio about how you can have this delivered, you can do this, you can do that. Well, guys, it's real simple. Just come down to the shop. We're right here in Midtown. You can look at all the cool stuff we've got here in the cases. You can pick it up. You can show it to your friend, whoever's with you. You decide you want it. You buy it. You pay for it. You walk out the door with your stuff, and you see exactly what you're getting. You feel exactly what you're getting, and you're talking to local folks right here in town that can answer your questions and help you out.
Hey, y'all have helped me so much over the years. All right, tell folks how to come find you in person and if they want to do it online.
Yeah, in the real world, Midtown Mobile, 2204 Government Street. Online, of course, mobilebaycoins.com. You can like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook and check out some of the cool stuff as it's coming in. If you want to listen to us talk about coins, gold and silver, precious metals, all this kind of cool stuff, right here every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5 from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And just a second. Let's start off with this. First of all, y'all say hello to my buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, Sean.
Okay. So let me go this. So latest piece over at AL.com from Cameron says, democracy does not belong to Democrats. Doesn't it belong to the Athenians?
Really, when you think about it, that's probably the right answer. But lately, I just, and you know me, I call balls and strikes. I criticize my Republican brethren when I think they're on the wrong track. And I do it to the Democrats, too. This is one of the instances where they're just, they've jumped the shark.
Oh, come on. Everything, every narrative out of the president or vice president is, this is a threat to our democracy. And I say we're a representative republic.
To democracy's throat. Democracy is about to get punched in the eyeball. I mean, it's all just disaster. Is if Republicans do well, everyone will die. And that's just ridiculous. Like, if you're a staunch liberal Democrat, you should still know that's stupid. It's extreme. I get the political rhetoric, but the idea that they just get to say, whatever we want is democratic, and it's democracy, and all the Republican things are racist, bigoted, and evil. I mean, give me a break.
That only works if there's an audience for it. I mean, okay, let's go back, first of all, before somebody spends their time texting. We're, you know, a representative republic, not a true democracy. But do you think that it's using democracy as the talisman here, not the representative, in other words, they don't have to look at the failures of this administration and make an argument why they should, you know, stay in power. They have now like switched themselves with democracy, at least in this crazy rhetoric, and then everybody loves democracy, so who could be against it?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Joe Biden, like, I guess this was last night on the voting stuff, goes completely, like, if you support our agenda, you're on the sides of the civil rights warrior.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're friends with George Wallace. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, have you, like, talked to anyone about what you're actually doing? Or is it just you're probably either a racist or a Democrat? And it's that kind of garbage that drives me insane, because I do support the Voting Rights Act. I absolutely think it's an important piece of legislation. I think the pre-clearance provisions that are outdated and were designed to basically target certain states don't need to be the same anymore. And the idea that I hold that position shouldn't make me racist. It means I'm reasonable. And I disagree with Democrats, but Democrats are like, well, if you disagree with us, you probably are a Klan member. And I'm so tired of that.
I think it's only being repeated because it's working, right? Or maybe they have nothing else to say. Like I said, they want to use democracy as their proxy for this administration that's failing so badly.
Yeah, because they don't want to have to talk about Afghanistan or immigration or inflation we can go down the list where they just haven't done a good job. And I hate that for them. I want whoever is in charge, I want them to do well for Americans. But they have not. And that's what is going to get them crushed in the midterms. And the idea that they're crushed by people who are all racist and horrible and don't like civil rights is ridiculous. And I get heated about this because I think if we want to have a talk about the Voting Rights Act in good faith, we should. Terry Sewell's bill, Alabama person right there, she changed the preclearance formula so it's basically the South plus Texas and California and New York. That's what the formula is now for preclearance provisions. And that's one bill, right? That's one discrete bill. Let's talk about that. But then they've got this voter freedom thing that truly does federalize a lot of elections, and we should oppose that, period.
Yeah, okay, first of all, civics lesson time. First of all, pre-clearance, which I think we've been out of pre-clearance here since, wasn't it when Holder was there? It was during the Obama administration, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a 10-year bailout provision that if you don't have any Voting Rights Act violations over a 10-year window, then you can avoid the pre-clearance.
Okay.
And that's what the bailout provisions are.
Okay, and just the short version for people who don't, we throw this around. What is pre-clearance? What does that mean for, like, the state of Alabama if we were still in pre-clearance? What would we have to do?
So here's the deal. When the Voting Rights Act was enacted in the 60s, we clearly had states that were bad actors. Alabama was one of them, trying to disenfranchise black voters. And so they said, if you are one of these states that passed these laws, then you now, if you want to change your laws again, you have to go to the federal government, Department of Justice, and get pre-approval before you can change your laws. And that's the provision that the Supreme Court struck down because they said the formula no longer is equitable. It is outdated. And so that's the issue when we talk Voting Rights Act right now. The Voting Rights Act provisions are still in effect, and if you violate them, you can be sued and your maps can be stricken and voting changes can be changed, but it's after the fact, not before it.
Is this increased discussion of this because of redistricting going on around the country to try to worry like a state like Alabama when they make decisions on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wouldn't you, if you're the Biden administration, like a bite at the apple on whether maps can be approved in Alabama before they, actually are enacted? Of course, because there's a political advantage to that. And my point is, if you really care about this that much, let's do preclearance for everybody or preclearance for nobody. The idea that, well, some of you we think are special bad actors and others are probably not as bad seems kind of ridiculous to me.
Okay. Then help me with the second part of this. So we talk about this federalizing the voting system here. So it would be that it would be a template to work off of, or would it not be like a Secretary of State in charge of it for Alabama? It would be some federal bureaucrat. How do they paint this? How would it work?
Well, the big deal is it's certain requirements across the state. And I understand that there's an interest in why don't we just streamline all this? Why don't we have all the states basically do the same thing and the federal government tell them what to do? Well, because the Constitution says that the states get to do that. And they get to do have the elections at the times and places of their choosing. And so I understand the efficiency argument. It's just not the right argument. Because states do this pretty effectively, and they do what their voters and the majorities of their voters in their states want them to do.
So, and going through these different, because they're using this as a bludgeon, right? Like you said, if you oppose this, you're somehow a bigot or something. For people, they need to be able to understand that. The problem is, you and I talk about this all the time. Go Google up some stories about this, and what you're going to get is opinion pieces from both sides telling you why it's the best thing ever or it's horrible. I want the Ross Perot with the whiteboard right now. Okay, it says this, and then the next slide, it says this. Do you agree with that? I mean, it's kind of, I think, what Americans need to have, not be told what to think about it, but be shown the facts.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, this is where, and I'll give a shout out to John Merrill here. I don't care what you think about personal life and stuff like that. Every time somebody has said, well, Alabama's voting laws are disenfranchising people, I said, tell me who, and I will connect you with John Merrill, and he will make sure that they're an eligible voter, that they have a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And without fail, John Merrill, Alabama Secretary of State, has done that. And so my point is, tell me who can't vote, and let's fix it.
Yes.
Like, I will be there to fix it. But don't give me these general feels and stuff. That's not useful.
Well, it is. It is general feels. That's thrown back. It'll say, you know, well, it's a climate, and a climate that makes it to where, you know, people of certain groups or this minority or that don't want to vote. Like, how do you fix that, the climate of voting? I mean, yeah.
That's weird. That is, let's go punch the clouds. Like, that is a not useful discussion for me, because think about it this way. You know, I just left the gym. It'd be real convenient if there was a ballot box at my gym. Am I legally entitled to that? No, I am not. And so there are systems and structures that need to be in place. But my point is, if somebody says, hey, I can't vote because I don't have a car, so I need a mail-in ballot, you know what I'm going to say? Okay, let's figure that out. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's useful, being like, well, you know, certain precincts and certain, you didn't do drive-in or whatever. Mm-hmm. Come on. Give me a break. Tell me who can't vote, and let's fix it.
Hey, just joining us, talking to Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. Another part of this is this question of majority rule. You heard President talk about it yesterday, and he keeps, you know, going. That's the new thing, right? It's majority. Like, they're telling us, the majority, we can't do what we want. I mean, are we, whether that be the filibuster or the Electoral College, I mean, these are, you know, Electoral College is a lot more, you know, germane to our discussion, I guess, than the filibuster. But, I mean, that's our system. I mean, is he proposing that the right of the individual is not important in our country? I mean, isn't that what we're built on?
Yeah, let me explain this crazy concept. It's called federalism, Sean. And we let these states that are all different do most of the governing. There are some things, like national defense, we do together. So we have this place called Washington, D.C. It's a federal enclave, not a state, where we sort out those things, and they have what are called enumerated powers. This is a wild concept, but it works just fine. And that's the type of thing that I keep telling folks, this is not complicated. This is how our country runs, and the idea that everybody basically right now is, I get to do whatever I want because I want to. And you need to grow up and realize that, hey, America's worked for a while because we had processes to sort this stuff out.
I wish more people would hear it the way I hear it, of course, because it's my opinion. But when the president talks about the majority rule, I'm going, we were set up to not do that. We were set up with speed bumps for that, to protect rights of individuals. That is why we're here.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are going to hate I've got a column I'm working on the filibuster. You know what? I think we should strengthen it. I actually have come to the conclusion that the Senate filibuster is fantastic because it means Congress can't do stuff. So states should do it. And that was the design all along. And really, think about it this way. What Democrats are saying is, the majority on the federal level, the narrow majority on the federal level, should be able to preempt significant majorities on the state level. I want you to think about that. That a narrow majority in D.C. gets to decide what's okay for a significant majority in a state like Alabama. It's a huge Republican majority in Alabama.
Right.
So a narrow Democrat majority gets to decide voting rules for a state that's perfectly capable of deciding its own rules.
What could go wrong? Really? What could go wrong?
Yeah, that is not democratic. That is not democracy. No. That's not a republic. That's
mob
just,
rule.
Here's what we want to do. Deal with it.
Hey, can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Okay, go to the news. Come back, because I got another question for my man, Cameron Smith, when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's a big national company, you know the name, but let me tell you the local angle. So a buddy of mine, Trey, has been running this for 14 years. He's got Mobile, Baldwin County folks working for him. He's got his son working for him, and they're doing great work at homes in Mobile and Baldwin County. And they've worked here at the radio station. They've worked at our storage unit, worked at my house. You got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And my pro tip right here, it's easier if you made a New Year's resolution to get organized in 2022, pro tip, easier to organize fewer things. So get rid of the junk and let my buddy Trey help you out with it. Online, you can set that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call Trey, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Continue our conversation with Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. All right, so Cameron, a couple things, and I guess we'll go fast here, have just a few minutes. Tomorrow, I guess we're expecting the Supreme Court's decision on the vaccine mandate. Let me throw this in your highly educated legal mind. If we now know from, well, just everybody knows, and now the CDC even admitting that people that are vaccinated, you know, double vaccinated and boosted and everything else, can still get Omicron and spread Omicron, then is there any need to have a mandate for people to be vaccinated if they're no different by that admission than the people that are not vaccinated?
No. I mean, I think that's where the rational argument tends to fall apart when you're saying it doesn't really matter if you're vaccinated or not, but you should get vaccinated and we should force you. Sounds like maybe not as great. And I think that making the argument, well, it's a good idea because if the symptoms are less severe, fine. I think we're going to end up in a situation where federal employees are likely going to be bought into that requirement. The federal contracting authority probably has some wiggle room, but the private mandate for under OSHA, I just don't see that one sticking. So I think that's where we fall.
I mean, if it's public safety, and listen, the argument they made so many times is it's not even about you, it's about your fellow coworkers. Okay. Well, if the vaccine mandate was based on that and a public safety, meaning the objective of this mandate coming through OSHA from the executive branch was to keep people safe in the workplace. But we now know that people that are, I'm not talking about the, you know, the duration of it, but people that are double vaxxed and boosted can get it and spread it. They're no different than the person standing right down the aisle from them that's not.
Right. And I think we're the scarier thing here and what the Supreme Court, I hope, addresses is, If OSHA, which is about occupational health and safety, can reach into your personal health decisions because you work with other people, then, man, OSHA just became extremely powerful because they could say, well, if you're obese and you're in a workplace where you have to physically exert yourself, that is not safe for your coworkers because you're not in good shape. Now we can regulate a lot. I mean, that starts to get weird. And so I think there has to be a limit to OSHA's reach.
All right, before we wrap up, too, one of the big talkers here is the first of the attack ads of this Senate campaign, I think the first attack ad, out now with Club for Growth going after Katie Britt and tying her, at least in the ad, they tried to Liz Cheney and Terry Sewell.
Yeah, I mean, this says that Club for Growth is even acknowledging that Mo Brooks has a real race on his hands. And they came in early with a lot of money and an ad that basically says, because DCA endorsed Terry Sewell and Terry Sewell wanted to impeach Trump, then Katie Britt is Liz Cheney. I mean, that's kind of the logic of the ad. It doesn't make any sense. This is swamp politics. I mean, get over it. I mean, Mo Brooks, I look, in the 216th Congress, Mo Brooks voted 87% of the time with Liz Cheney. The idea that they're going to vote materially different is ridiculous.
Well, okay, and it's not that she voted that way. It's once again, that BCA did what the Business Council of Alabama would do. You're going to back the winner in any district. Terry Sewell has no competition in district, so you're going to back that person. But then whatever votes she takes now come back on Katie Britt?
Yeah, and somehow make Katie Liz Cheney. And my point is Mo Brooks conservative? Yes. You know, Mike Durant seems pretty conservative. Katie Britt? Pretty conservative. I mean, what you've got here is basically folks that are largely going to vote the same way, and it's who do you like as the better leader? That's the right question for Alabamians. The idea that, you know, Katie Britt's a closet liberal or Mo Brooks is like Liz Cheney or Mike Durant is some kind of plant. Like, give me a break. Just look at the candidates and say, who's going to best represent where my family is and what my principles are? That's the right thing to do.
And the tea leaves are telling you, for folks to kind of look through your eyes here, and I like Mo Brooks, he'll come on the show with me and we talk about these things, but this third party, this PAC Club for Growth coming in, that's something that usually would happen towards, you know, a few weeks out if you had trouble in a campaign, right? I mean, when you go attack early, that tells me Club for Growth is worried.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this says this race is close. And look, I mean, at this point in the game, is it Katie's up, Bo's up, Mike's catching? I mean, I think you're looking at a runoff. The question is which two are going to be in the runoff. Obviously, Katie has been everywhere. Mike has really stepped up his. And Mo has basically been kind of quiet. And so Club for Growth is coming in here out of D.C. to come in and bail him out a little bit in terms of campaigning. And, hey, this race is hot. It is ready to go. And this is going to be close.
All right. People want to get more from you. Where do they go?
Go to @DCameronSmith on Twitter, al.com/opinion. You can find me. Just Google Cameron Smith. Look for the prettiest person you can find that's not a rugby player.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
Thanks, Don.
All right. Paul Feinbaum on the way next.